Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the August 26th Committee of the Whole meeting. I am Ron Singer. I represent the 4th Ward. I also have my colleague representing us today, Alderman Flanagan. And if we may begin, let it be recorded that all aldermen are present other than Alderman Kilburg, and he will be on his way shortly. So if I would like to begin by asking for a motion to consider our consent agenda.
We got Mr. Maladra.
Oh, Alderman Maladra is here in the building, and he will be with us presently. There he is. Let's give a hand for Alderman Maladra.
Wow, what a grand entrance.
He started early.
Yes. So I'm in need of a motion to consider our consent agenda, please.
So moved.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. I need a second. Alderman Flanagan seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Any nays? Let it be recorded that the vote was unanimous. The next point of our agenda is I am in need of a motion for us to go into a closed session on the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body. Will someone please make that motion?
Second.
I'm sorry, who was the motioner
motion.
Made? Alderman Vogelberg and seconded by Alderman Bruno. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anyone opposed? Thank you. Our next item of business, we are to...
When will that occur?
I'm sorry?
Where on the agenda? We should have amended the agenda, I think, to... Where? This will be agenda item number six
well,
and a half.
Well, we can call it I if you'd like to. Is that acceptable? Alderman Brown?
It's fine.
Thank you. All right, let's go on with the items of business today. Firstly, we want to proclaim September 2013 as Hungry Action Month in the city of Geneva, Illinois, and we have a gentleman, Christopher Strump, who will be coming forward to speak to us. He represents the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Christopher, would you like to come forward, please? And thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Chris Stroop. I'm the manager of communications and advocacy of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and we have been working with Mayor Burns over the last month to. In September, all about 200 food banks across the nation are going to be participating in what's called Hunger Action Month, where it is an event where we try to raise awareness of the issue of hunger going on in the community. And since Northern Illinois Food Bank's home is right here in Geneva as of the last couple of years, we are looking to make sure that Geneva is well represented in this. Starting next Thursday, which is September 5th, one of the main initiatives that we're going to be doing is called Go Orange Day. So all across the nation, all across all 50 states, all food banks are going to be participating in this. This is an idea where everybody wears orange. If it's a gentleman, you can wear a tie. If you know, in your office, you can wear orange, you can wear a ribbon, whatever you want to do. As long as there's orange on you at that time, you can have a conversation about what's going on, and we'd be happy to provide everybody with the statistics about what's going on here. For Northern Illinois, we cover 13 counties across everything outside of Cook County. So in Northern Illinois, there are over 500,000 people that we serve each year. There are over 425,000 people facing hunger, and one in five of those are children. So our goal is to make sure that everybody knows what's going on, is well informed, and when you guys are out, you know that hunger does exist, because what we always say is that there's at least one person in this room or one person that you know that has gone hungry at some point in their life. And it's something that is not widely discussed. There are other issues that are easier discussed, but hunger is something that is always hidden for us. So we are very happy that you guys will be proclaiming this Hunger Action Month for us, and we look forward to working with you guys on this. Does
Thank
anybody
you,
have any questions about? I don't know if you can take questions here, so. But I love questions.
Christopher, before you leave the podium, Mayor Burns would like to address you, and he has a proclamation.
I'm sure there's
I,
a lot
I do
of
have
things
a proclamation. I have had the pleasure of working with Chris and his team at Northern Illinois Food Bank. We have broadcast information courtesy of our Director Ellen DeVita and others to our merchant community throughout the community regarding Hunger Awareness Month. We are prepared to go orange as we can. So I suspect that next Tuesday, when we have our city council meeting, I think you'll see the gentlemen here. If they don't have an orange tie, perhaps they'll join me in heading over to Ross or somewhere else to find one. And hopefully the ladies will don their orange attire as well. But this is an important issue. We're delighted and honored that Northern Illinois Food Bank calls Geneva home. All of us have seen the important work you do at the food bank. I happened to be there just a few weeks ago when we met with Peter Schaefer, your CEO, and I know that you're sadly having a banner year with respect to providing food sources for families. It's extraordinary. I think Peter shared with me the millions of pounds that you anticipate distributing.
Last fiscal year, we distributed 50 million pounds, which is the equivalent of 42 million meals.
42 million meals just in Northern Illinois.
In the last 5 years, that's gone up from 23, 24 million pounds.
And I hate to ask, is there any end in sight?
There is not. I mean, I met with Pete today, and we were talking to a lot of the pantries that are in our service area, and he says the only number that is not going down is the no-shows.
Is that right?
That is right. Every other number is going up.
Now, with respect to funding, your federal funds and state funds are being depleted.
That is correct.
So you rely heavily on individual donations, corporate donations.
We rely heavily on the community. We do get grants. We do have outside contributors. Mm-hmm. As our CEO would say, our biggest contributor is grandma, the people that would bring, you know, send in a $60 check. We have one lady who actually sends in $3 a month because that's all she can afford. But we do have a lot of generous people who will donate more than that. And we're always looking for individuals that believe in our cause, and luckily there are many who do.
And how long have you been with the food bank?
I have been with the food bank, it'll be 5 years as of next week.
Was that right? Wow.
That is right.
And your Twitter account is Senator Strupp, is that right?
That is correct.
Holy God, yeah.
I'm glad that you research things.
Well, you clicked on me the other day, you're going to follow me, for God's sake. So you probably saw my first tweet regarding State Street Collision.
I did.
Yeah, that was riveting, by the way.
I wouldn't say that, but
it was. It was good. It was good living, man. Any comments or questions for Mr. Stroop?
Okay.
Mr. Bruno. Excuse me, Mr.
Stroop, is there for making donations to the food pantry, is there an option for any like sustaining membership and a credit card?
Sure. Our website is solvehungertoday.org. We do have a online system where you are able to donate. If you would like to become a monthly donor, you are welcome to do that. If you'd like to be a one-time contributor, you are also welcome to do that. And we have many different programs that you are able to sponsor, backpack programs, holiday meal box programs, many different things that will go directly to the community. One thing I did not point out, that 97% of the funding that we receive goes right back into our programs. So we are a charity navigator, 4-star rated charity for the last 10 years, and only 1% of charities have actually achieved that.
Thank you.
You can hop on GuideStar and find out how good you really are, too. So
no.
You do good work. Anyone else? I do have a proclamation, if I may indulge the committee and the community. The City of Geneva, Illinois Proclamation, Hunger Awareness Month 2013. Whereas Northern Illinois Food Bank is a not-for-profit organization that engages the community in a commitment to feed our hungry neighbors, and now here's some fascinating statistics, folks. Whereas Northern Illinois Food Bank provides meals to over 60,000 different people each week through a network of food pantries, soup kitchens, shelters, and youth and senior feeding programs, including 70 here in Kane County. And whereas Northern Illinois Food Bank distributed 50 million pounds of food, the equivalent of, as we heard, 42 million meals in fiscal year 2013. And whereas September is Hunger Action Month, where Northern Illinois Food Bank and over 200 food banks across the country are hosting awareness campaigns and events to bring attention and take action for the cause of hunger. And whereas September 5, 2013 is National Go Orange Day, now therefore be it resolved through the power vested in me as the mayor of Geneva, Illinois, let all who do have and will reside in Geneva, Illinois, know that the City of Geneva joins Northern Illinois Food Bank in proclaiming September 2013 as Hunger Action Month in the City of Geneva. I know we have a motion and a second on the floor. I'll defer to the chairman to ask for the Oh, you did, okay, excuse me.
Yes.
Second.
Second, Alderman Flanagan? Oh.
And Alderman Vogel motioned.
Very good. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
And you're collecting lots of these proclamations from different communities.
Yeah, I got four more tonight.
Well, who are you going to next?
No, we have one in Highland Park this evening.
Oh, you're heading there?
I'm not going there.
Oh, okay.
Someone else is up there, don't worry.
Tell Highland Park we gave $1 million too, and see what they see if they match it. This is for you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our second item of business is the RTA Travel Training Program presentation. Christine is our RTA representative, and she's going to address us regarding that issue. Christine, please come forward. Tell us something about yourself, what your responsibilities are.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. My name is Kristen Selkis. I'm here from the RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority. I am the Mobility Services Outreach Specialist, so I speak with different communities, different people in communities about public transportation, and I like to focus on communities of seniors and people with disabilities. That's what our specific program focuses on. Tonight, I want to mention three things. I want to mention our big change into the Ventra fare system. I want to mention some of the fare programs that we offer, and finally, I want to talk about the RTA's travel training program. So to start off with Ventra, I just want to see a show of hands. How many of you have heard the word Ventra? Good. Okay, good. Ventra is the new fare system that is being implemented in the RTA systems. It's starting out being implemented on CTA and PACE, and anybody that has an RTA fare card with their picture on it. So anybody that uses any kind of fare card, this is going to apply to you. If you are a senior, a person with a disability, or if you use the PACE buses in this community, you will be getting new cards. There's gonna be a big change. Your card is gonna look different. It's going to be a tap card, so you no longer have to put it into the machine anymore. You just tap it against the machine and it reads your card. And we're hoping that this is gonna make things a lot easier and a lot safer for folks in the community. It's gonna be more convenient. There's no more worrying about if your card is gonna break. It's a durable plastic card. And we just want everybody to know about that big change that's going to be happening. So if you get any mail from RTA, make sure to open it. We're not asking for money. We want to give you your card. So everybody should make sure that they do that. The second thing I want to talk about is the RTA's different fare programs. The RTA offers a reduced fare program and a ride-free program to certain members of the community. The reduced fare program offers half-price fares. And that is available to seniors who are 65 years of age or older, or persons with disabilities of any age. So if you are 66 years old, for example, you automatically qualify for this program. You just need to sign up. If you are only 64 years old, but you use a walker or wheelchair, something like that, then you would qualify for this program as well. And again, that offers half price fares. We have a ride-free program that offers free rides, and that's for the same qualifications, anyone who's a senior or a person with a disability, but you also have to be a person of low income. So that free rides are available if you can prove that your income falls below our maximum income level. So those programs are available as well. And finally, I want to talk about our travel training program. I brought some literature for everybody. This is a really great program that we want to get the word out about. Our travel training program is offered to anybody who feels like they would need training on how to take public transit. For those of you that have never taken the Metro train from Geneva to Chicago, you guys got to check it out. It's a really great, easy way to get to the city. Now, public transit isn't easy. Sometimes it's really complicated, and that's why this training program is really important, because we go through all the steps with you. We go through all the steps that it takes to use public transit. If you have some kind of disability or physical limitation, We'll talk about all of the accessibility features that are available on buses and trains. So we'll talk about lifts, ramps, things like that. It's really, really useful stuff that a lot of people don't even know exists. All of our buses and trains are ADA accessible. Anybody who uses a wheelchair can take our buses and trains. So this is just something that's really good to utilize if anybody is wondering what it's like to take public transit. Not all of us are going to drive forever. Not all of us are able to drive. So this is just a great program. It's absolutely free that you should take advantage of. And in this program, we will come to you. We'll come to your home. We'll come to your work. And we'll show you how to take buses and trains from where you are. So great opportunity for people in the community to take advantage of. So thank you. I appreciate that. One more thing that I do want to mention. Yeah, you caught me, didn't you? Is I will be coming here tomorrow in this very room at 7 p.m. to kind of talk about these things in greater detail and also answer questions about anything that I just mentioned, Ventra, fare programs, travel training or ADA features. I'll be here tomorrow at 7 p.m. to talk about these in greater depth. So take advantage of that. Come by here. I'd love to see you.
Christine, your ride free program is totally independent of the ride and cane program?
Yes, it is. They're independent from each other. So ride and cane is just within Kane County.
Correct.
And if you are part of the ride free program, you can take public transit for free in any of the six counties surrounding Chicago.
Very good. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just have a question about whether you're going to have any forms for people to fill out tomorrow.
I absolutely will.
Because I think that would be in.
I absolutely will. I have forms for the ride free and reduced fare programs. Ride free is actually half online. So I'll talk about how you can access that, different places you can go to access that, because I won't have a computer here and I won't have the time to do that with every person. But I have paper forms available for those programs that use them.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone from the audience would like to address the young lady? She'll be here again tomorrow
at
7 p.m. With forms.
Forms, question and answer as well.
We're going to have a PowerPoint presentation.
Correct.
Good. Good. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
All right. There's no need for any action on this issue. So thank you, young lady. We'll see you tomorrow evening.
Thank you.
Let us continue on. Our next item of business is to recommend a draft resolution authorizing the purchase of one 2013 Ford Interceptor police car from Moro Brothers Ford, the amount of $32,300.
So moved.
This is a budgeted item. So Alderman Maladra motions. I need a second. Alderman Marks is our second. Any questions on this item? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I presume this is a state through the state buying program. Is that correct?
I would assume it is, yes. Correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Anyone from the audience? Those in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Let it be recorded that it was unanimous vote. We are now down to item D. We are recommending a draft resolution authorizing the purchase of one utility truck from Bob Writing's Fleet Sales in the amount of $92,944. I need a motion.
So moved.
Alderman
second.
Marks, I need a second. Alderman Cummings, second. Any questions? Anyone from the audience? Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Let it be recorded that again it was unanimous. We are now on item E. We are recommending the draft resolution declaring the surplus property of a 1999 utility truck and placed on iBid auction site.
So moved.
A motion made by Alderman Flanagan. I need a second.
Second.
Alderman Brown. Any questions on this issue? Anyone from the audience? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Let it be recorded as a unanimous vote. We are now on item 4F. We are recommending a draft ordinance amending Title IX, Chapter 2, Water and Sewer Rates to set customer charge for temporary water connection and consumption. I need a motion.
So moved.
Alderman Marks, a motion, a second, please. Alderman Bruno, any questions on this issue? Anyone from the audience? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those, anyone opposed? Let it be recorded as a unanimous vote. We are now on item 4G. We are recommending an update to city special events application process and cost recovery policy. I need a motion.
So moved.
Alderman Vogelsberg, I need a second. Alderman Marks, second. Any question on the issue? Anyone from the audience? Alderman Cummings.
I had a couple questions regarding, of course, the running races. I was curious about how the races were going to get shifted from what ones were going to be grandfathered, what weren't. And I had a question about the marathon in particular. And I wanted to, I don't know, get a sense of the flexibility of...
Well, the marathon would not be an administrative approved. That would still come through council. The differentiation is on the level of impact, and the races that are run on those four courses that were discussed on the bike path at the Government Center, Peck Farm, and I have to look for the fourth one. Those are easy to do. Those require minimal impact to services, and those would be grandfathered in. And those would just be approved by the police department. Eric and I are the chief reviewers and administrators. We take in the event applications, and then we disperse the information to the rest of the staff and get comments, approval, et cetera. And there were two long-term medium impact races, the Viking and the triathlon over at the hospital,
Yeah.
Multi-sport madness. Those are very complicated, actually, but we've run them so long we know what they are. So the recommendation is to consider those as administrative approval. They happen like clockwork, pretty much. And then beyond that, we run into troubles where we can't service them. We don't have enough staff. When people want to do something downtown and they want to close all the streets and crossings, so we're recommending that those be reviewed on a case-by-case basis, and it would be brought for administrative approval if the police department can handle them. But so the key operative change is that we're saying these are the races we can do, we have the resources to do administratively. High impact, like the marathon, would be coming to council. So it's just the low to medium we're asking for the ability to do administrative approval on.
Okay. I guess my worry was perhaps we're beginning to shift away from some of those events and maybe not support them, or maybe that was my worry.
It's interesting. I think up and down the valley, the communities are all feeling the impact of these events, and the Fox Valley Park District is the intake for events on the bike path, and Jim Eby at Batavia Parks administers those. They've limited those now to one per day because it was getting overwhelming. So it's interesting. Technology has played a role. There are measured race routes out there, and we show up quite frequently because people love to come here and walk and run our routes. So we've seen a definite uptick in the request to run events here.
Anything else? No, that's exactly it. And for us, it just can very much tax our manpower if we don't, if we have to venture into a new course and, you know, we only have limited staff, and to try and get 13 or 14 officers to work an event, which a lot of these fall on the weekend, we just don't have the officers available to do it, to venture into new courses. But these that are already established, it's very easy for us to do.
Okay.
And these also don't cross major streets. You know, they take less manpower. So.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have ESTA helping you at all, or can they?
They do with some. Their manpower is difficult as well, and anything that is usually a weekday event, they have a hard time getting people for.
So they too also.
They do
so. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only downside I see on this is we do hope that people watch us here sitting on Monday night, and it only takes a minute to go through these various things, but at least gives them some publicity. So in my mind, I like the fact that we have all these events. People come to Geneva for a reason, and the fact that we're publicizing them, I think, is a useful thing. I realize there's a little bit of staff work involved in putting it into our packets, et cetera, but the few minutes it takes us to give them a little publicity and approve it, I think is well worth it. Thank you. Any event that holds for.
Are there any other questions? Anyone from the audience? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed?
Nay.
Alderman Brown is a negative. Thank you. Let us continue on now to item 4H. We are recommending a Plan Commission public hearing on city code amendments for the consolidation of the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission to establish Planning and Zoning Commission. I need a motion.
So moved.
Alderman Marks. I need a second.
Second.
Alderman Simone as a second. Any questions? Questions from the audience. Arthur, would you like to address us at this time? Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Alderman Bruno.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was there, is there any, did it come up in discussion, is there any legal reason that, keeping them separate would benefit us?
Well, we've taken a look at this and chatted with Attorney Radovich about you know, doing this combined approach, consolidated approach to the Plan Commission and Zoning Board of Appeals functions. And there's really no statutory limitation that would preclude the city from doing this consolidation. In our research, many communities have gone this route, whether they be non-home rule or home rule municipalities.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a similar question. When the Plan Commission operates, they go into a part of their commission meeting where they're actually at officially a public meeting and then recorded by recording secretaries, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Would there, during their meeting, they have to sort of open and close, open a zoning commission hearing, that would be recorded, and then close that and open a Plan Commission hearing following the same topic? I mean, there must be some legalities in how to follow that, because the Zoning Commission findings are also a matter of public record, right?
And that is correct. And actually, the action taken by the Zoning Board of Appeals on a variation request or a formal appeal are actually those, that result is actually recorded in the King County Recorder's Office. The distinction here between, if I might just add here, the Plan Commission is a recommending body, so it's forwarding recommendations on zoning map and text amendments, subdivision plats, special use permits, site plan reviews, etc. They're a recommending body to you, the City Council. The Zoning Board of Appeals is a quasi-judicial body, and the determination that they make on a variation or an appeal is actually the final word of the city on that particular case.
It's legally binding.
It is, and really the only recourse to any, you know, if you, as a petitioner, if you wanted to appeal that decision, that petitioner would not come to the City Council, they would go to Circuit Court. The proposal that would be considered here if this hearing is conducted would be to retain the quasi-judicial authority of the ZBA with this consolidation and shift to the Plan Commission. So the Plan Commission would be acting as a quasi-judicial body in that portion of the meeting agenda where they'd be considering a variation.
The meeting agenda would be carefully separated.
That's
so
correct.
Clear.
That's correct.
The same recording secretary would presumably record both sections.
Right. We have a secretary that records the minutes and takes the roll, and then we have a separate court reporter that records all verbatim transcripts of all public hearings. And certainly with a potential shift here of the ZBA authority to the Plan Commission, that recorder would be present for the variation request considered.
Thank you.
Alderman Marks.
Dick, just with what you've asked, a question popped into my mind. Does Does the zoning, as it stands now, does the Zoning Board of Appeals ever oversee anything that the Planning Commission does? Does something go through the Planning Commission and then end up in a Zoning Board of Appeals? They're two distinct, separate. They never cross.
In fact, when we have matters pending before the Plan Commission that involve the variation of a zoning standard and a petition is filed by an applicant that's pending consideration, or projects pending consideration before the Plan Commission, we typically bring that matter to the Zoning Board of Appeals first. Because if the Zoning Board of Appeals didn't approve that zoning relief, it wouldn't make sense for the Plan Commission
reverse.
To consider a plan that could be implemented.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that the Zoning Board of Appeals has been around for quite a while. And
oh, yes, indeed.
And they have some experienced commissioners on it.
Very experienced.
So I'm just wondering how the transition would be. Would it be flawless? Would it have some ups and downs, bumps, because they won't be as knowledgeable?
Well, I'm a guy that is involved in these processes every day. It's Zoning Board of Appeals, Historic Preservation Commission, Plan Commission, Geneva Housing Task Force. So we are, in the Community Development Department, we're process-driven. And I'm a believer in the process, and the processes, I should say. I think there is, with any new responsibility, there's a learning curve. The one thing that I will say, you know, the Zoning Board hasn't been meeting very much in recent years. In the case of the Plan Commission, the Plan Commission is meeting almost every month, and every month, almost, they are conducting public hearings where they're going through a case where there's formal testimony given, there's rebuttal, there's questions being asked, statements being entered into the record. So they're used to, the Plan Commission is used to conducting public hearings on a regular basis. The Commission is also used to making fact-finding on zoning cases and special use requests. Our zoning ordinance lays out separate findings that they must make, and staff plays a role in giving them information that they can choose to use or not in making their finding of fact. In the case of the Zoning Board of Appeals, same thing. There's a fact finding required. So I would anticipate the transition to be quite smooth, even though it would be slightly different subject matter. It still is the zoning ordinance that they'd be dealing with, and the Commission deals with zoning matters all the time. So I think although there'd be a difference here, I think the transition would be smooth because they're accustomed to conducting public hearings and making findings of fact.
Are there any other questions? Director Runge, how often has the Zoning Board of Appeals met in the last couple of years?
Well, We had a couple of cases just recently here, but we did go through May of this year. We went for a period of time for about 2.5 years where the Zoning Board of Appeals did not meet. And on average over the past 5 years, they've met twice a year. So they are meeting relatively infrequently. And in some respects, I've had a little bit of concern for the newer members that are on the Zoning Board of Appeals because they're not getting a chance to really see cases and they're not getting a chance to apply the variation standards. And I think that could pose some challenges if a particularly complex or difficult, very involved kind of variation request came forward because they're not accustomed to meeting, and really they're relatively inexperienced. Good, well-intentioned volunteers, but certainly without the kind of experience that you may need to have on a complex case.
I understand there are many adjoining communities that have combined these two entities. And you feel that this is something significant that we should carry forward, and do you feel that do other communities joining these two entities, that is the reasoning behind our taking this into account?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. In your memo I gave you, we've kind of laid out, our analysis and our thinking about it from a staff perspective, and you can choose to consider that as you may. The communities that we contacted on this, we surveyed about 20 communities in the immediate area, and 9 have consolidated functions of the Plan Commission and Zoning Board variation function. We were in contact with the Village of Gurnee, and they recently did a survey of 30 communities, and they found 21 communities that had this merged variation and Plan Commission review function. So it's certainly not uncommon for this kind of a organizational setup. And the basic logic is pretty simple, is that one body hears zoning matters in their entirety, be they amendments to the zoning map or zoning text, or if there's a zoning variation involved. There's one body that looks at zoning matters and zoning requests.
I understand that presently there are, 2 members short on the zoning board and one?
Just one. One short.
Oh, one in the zoning board. How many in the Plan Commission?
One.
One
short.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be left up to the mayor to make a decision as to how that one person on the Plan Commission will be replaced or will be added to?
Well, we certainly get candidates all the time that apply for advisory commission positions, the mayor makes that call on appointing members to all of these advisory commissions. Certainly, if this merger took place, currently seated Zoning Board of Appeals members could be a pool for future, Plan Commission membership, for vacant spots. And just so you know, we are looking at changing the title of the Plan Commission to Planning and Zoning Commission. That would be codified, and we'd be going through the steps to do that.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Are there any other questions? Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
Did you have a turn, Alderman?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh,
please.
That's what I was going to touch on. I wanted you to touch on that. There were some seats one seat available, and I do remember in the memo that you mentioned something about them being the Zoning Board of Appeals would have kind of like maybe the first, be able to be one of the first to.
We've suggested that. But
I thought it would be a good idea. I mean, yeah. So I'm going to throw that out, that I think that would be a very good idea to have at least somebody from that who was experienced who could sit in that position. Because
we have some members on the Zoning Board of Appeals that have sat on the appeal board for many years and do bring very substantial expertise, and certainly their service they have performed in a very dedicated and professional manner all these years, and I would think their expertise would be useful.
Yeah, I know that we at one time took the sign committee too and merged that into the Planning
right.
Commission, so I'm wondering how much of I'm sure it's on the same track, is it not? All of these items, signs,
PUD? Well, various, like you mentioned signs, and sign variations are considered by the Plan Commission right now.
Yeah.
The standards are slightly different than other variations, but there's a set of standards that they use in evaluating each sign variation request.
Okay. So that was my 2 cents about encouraging the Zoning Board of Appeals to be accepted.
Any other questions? All of them around.
Yeah, as a segue to that, the memo you sent says that currently seated Zoning Board of Appeals members could be given priority consideration. Well, by approving this, I am, in my own mind, reading that sentence, should be given priority consideration, although we understand it's up to the mayor to make the recommendation to the council. So, yes, the words are in there, and I think that's the right thing to do, and I appreciate you, the fact that you recognize the Zoning Board for the expertise they have built up. Thank
Absolutely.
You. I will vote for it.
Bear in mind, members and those in the audience, that what we are doing here is recommending this issue to be brought forth through a public hearing. And there will be certainly a means whereby those who feel comfortable in addressing that issue will have that opportunity at some point in time. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the issue? Arthur, please come forward and let us know who you are.
My name is Arthur Kandel, and I've been a resident of Geneva since 1987. I'm a retired professional engineer, and I've worked for the Cook County Highway Department for 38 years, where I worked on the planning, design, construction, and maintenance of highways. I was also an employee of the City Public Works Department. As a coordinator of the activities of the city, contractors, and adjacent store owners during the reconstruction of the State Street Bridge, State Street, and 3rd Street. I've been a member of the Zoning Board of Appeals since 1989, and presently am the chairman. And I will go on. I imagine that all the members have received this memorandum from Mr. Unch relative to this, and I would like to rebut several of the items in there and work by. The Community Development Department is requesting the consolidation of two of its commissions of its stated duties. I, as the chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals, reject the proposal to combine the actions of the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission. I ask the City Council members to look unfavorably upon this request. Primarily, there's a basic difference between the actions of the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission. The actions of the Zoning Board of Appeals can only be examined by the Kane County court system, while the actions of the Plan Commission are routinely reviewed and acted upon by the Geneva Mayor and City Council. Approval of the actions of the board are sent to Kane County, who then records the actions that are used by the county assessor, the Register of Deeds, and various members of the public. The Zoning Board of Appeals handles cases brought by individual Geneva citizens, owners of their property. The cases usually affect the city, the owner, and the adjacent neighbors. The personnel rapport between the owner, the neighbors, and the Zoning Board of Appeals can be established and an amicable conclusion attained. The subdivision and PUD cases handled by the Plan Commission usually are handled by professional representatives and city staff, and sometimes without a neighborly contribution. Below are a rebuttal of the reasons for the consolidation made by the Community Development Department and presented for your review. And I'm going to go one by one for these. The reason that the Zoning Board of Appeals has not met for 2.5 years is stated. That doesn't mean that the Zoning Board of Appeals members were completely out of touch with the Building Department, who was the originator of notifying the Zoning Board of Appeals of a possible meeting. Many times during the intervening years, I have met with the office personnel of the Building Department and inquired of the possibilities needed for a Zoning Board of Appeals board meeting. There were very few additions that were made to existing properties during the years of the building slowdown, and none that required a variance of the code. 2.5 years, no business. The professional abilities of the Building Department personnel in counseling the project design with the homeowner is appreciated. Therefore, a lack of variation petitions is not a valid reason to consolidate the Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission. And the lack of meetings is not a basic reason to cite for members being not acquainted with changes in regulations. Changes in code or regulations originate outside of the board. It should be the duty of the administration to advise the board of any enacted changes affecting future actions of the board. The city zoning ordinance That's a pretty thick lot of material. Is published revised July of 2010, is published and presented to all members of the Zoning Board. It is incumbent upon the members of the board to be familiar with the ordinance. Any questions that he or she may have concerning the ordinance can be answered by the staff. Periodically, the city attorney conducts a legal seminar for the Zoning Board of Appeals. Therefore, information regarding any changes made to the ordinance is an incumbent upon the staff to disseminate to members of the board, including appointments of new members of the council action. By volunteering to serve on the Zoning Board of Appeals indicates that members will acquaint themselves with the material in question and attend, if possible, all the meetings. Approval of a project handled by the Plan Commission is the first step in a series of City Council approvals. The review time of proposed improvements within the city could be vastly improved if staff would advise applicant of the various steps involved in their project and also advise the other review bodies of possible involvement. Normally, the Zoning Board of Appeals does not act on a zoning variance until the Historic Preservation Commission approves of the project, if applicable, or any other commission for that matter. Approval by the Zoning Board of Appeals legally affects not only the city, but also the county. The owners may choose to revise his project after approval by the Plan Commission for various reasons, and then obviate actions of other boards of commissioners. The appearance of a court reporter is mandatory. Preparation of verbatim transcripts is occasioned by the appeals process. Since my appointment to the Zoning Board of Appeals in 1989, there has been only one appeal of our decisions, and in that case, the actions of the Zoning Board of Appeals was upheld by the court. If cost is such a great factor for inclusion, consider that the applicant bear the cost. Just because some municipalities do something one way doesn't mean that all of them must be on board. Various municipalities have reason for being the way they are. If all of the surrounding municipalities had the same ordinances and boards, soon it would be just one big circle around Chicago, maybe. There are very few advantages to combining the Commission and the Zoning Board of Appeals, contrary to the material proposed by the Community Development Department. The purpose of the Plan Commission and the Zoning Board of Appeals are different. The Commission approves its actions before construction according to an existing ordinance. The Zoning Board of Appeals would act on allowing a variance of the existing ordinances before permitting process. The Community Development Department would still have the same ultimate review of applications and comments, only done by different staff. Both the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission have regularly published scheduled meeting dates on a twice-a-month basis, so it isn't just as a whim. All members are notified of meetings. The Zoning Board of Appeals has more personnel arrangement between the city and its citizens. I mean, we are talking to Joe homeowner, and it's his small problem that needs adjustment or approval or somebody within the city to talk to him in a very good manner. The manageable workload of the Plan Commission states that the approaching building of areas will reduce its actions. The expanding real estate market will probably expand the number of residents that wish to make their own particular improvements. The Zoning Board of Appeals does not consider rezoning of PUD or subdivision projects, as the Plan Commission does. It is not their purpose. Combining the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission will actually reduce the number of volunteering citizens who wish to give their time and talents for, again, no consideration, no compensation. There would be no monetary difference in the fees changed by the city. Question is, how much would we save, or how much extra is it going to cost? And I don't think there would be any. Again, I recommend and ask the members of the City Council to reject the recommendations of the Department of Community Development. Yours respectfully, Arthur Kendall. And I will present my comments to the chairman of the board.
Thank you, Arthur. Any council members have a question of Arthur? Alderman Simone?
Prior to this economic downturn, how many meetings or situations was it? Was there many more prior to 2007?
I don't have an exact number, but there would be 6-7 a year of Joe homeowner who wants to do something with his property that is against the existing ordinance, and that's why we have the Zoning Board of Appeals. He appeals the suggestion. There was one that was very much in my mind. It was over on 6th Street, almost at South Street, where a man wanted to revise his garage, and it was opposed by his neighbor. Well, if the opposition went through, we would have cut down two beautiful trees on the other side of the property and moved a utility pole carrying electric wires and a telephone. And we worked with the three parties, the zoning board and the two members, and we came to a very amicable conclusion. The man redesigned his garage and we saved the two trees and the utility pole, and everybody ended up smiles. So that's one of the things. There are not very many people who really need our services, but it's a service that a group of citizens on the board talk directly to Joe homeowner, and he appreciates that work. And usually the people on the Plan Commission are of a professional in nature, architects, lawyers, engineers, and such, who are more looking towards the ordinances and subdivisions of property rather than one small homeowner. I think, yeah, Ms. McKittrick.
Yes, I will address Ms. McKittrick in a moment.
Yeah.
All right. Ms. McKittrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to remind everyone, so as not to preempt public hearing testimony, this is just asking for the item to be forwarded to the Plan Commission so that a public hearing can be taken at that time, and testimony can be taken at the public hearing. So I just didn't want to preempt the process by holding the unofficial public hearing before
the I realize the process, and if it never gets before advanced, then that's my purpose.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may ask a question of Ms. McKittrick. It sounds to me like this is a policy question for the council, and it's not clear to me why the Plan Commission, which is one of the two parties involved, should be asked to hold the public hearing. The City Council can certainly hold a public hearing on anything it wants to. Asking one of the two entities to hold the public meeting sounds a little bit less than even-handed to me.
Yeah, I can respond to that, and the reason for that is that many of the changes to the text of the zoning ordinance involving the Zoning Board of Appeals would involve a public hearing that would be required to be held by the Plan Commission, just by the very nature that's the zoning text amendment.
So you're suggesting that you would come up with a list of all the things that would have to be changed in the current zoning code in order for this to happen, and hence the Public Commission would have to hold a hearing on all those items?
That is correct.
But you have not yet compiled a list of items?
We have not. We have gone through the ordinance on an initial scan, that is the city code, excuse me. There are sections in the zoning ordinance that require the Plan Commission public hearing. Then there are other sections of the city code that would have to be changed, like the section on boards and commissions, where the City Council can make that change without public hearing.
Another approach might be for your office to come up with a list of suggested changes to the code for us to see, and then if we decided that made sense, to forward it to the Plan Commission for a hearing on those. But at the moment, we're forwarding to them just a general suggestion that they hold a meeting with no detail as to what exactly in the code needs to be changed.
Well, I can just comment briefly here that most of the change involves word changes, that is, changing Zoning Board of Appeals and Plan Commission to Planning and Zoning Commission. So it's really a change in name, and there is some shifting around of provisions, but it's pretty simple in content, but more expansive in terms of the number of times those words, Plan Commission and Zoning Board of Appeals, would have to be changed.
I would like to add that the appeals process is probably paramount, in that the appeal process of the Zoning Board of Appeals goes to the clerk of the circuit court, and whereas any changes with the Plan Commission would go before the mayor and the city council and leave the court system out of it. And so it's, to me, that's a pretty huge step of cutting out the court system.
Are we not cutting out a whole section of the code, since the Zoning Board of Appeals must be established in a section of the code which is separate from the section of the code that establishes the Plan Commission? Is that correct?
Okay, I want to clarify a point. I respect Chairman Candle's position in all of this, but what is contemplating is no change in the manner in which a variation is actually considered. The Plan Commission would simply be renamed the Planning and Zoning Commission, and variation hearings held by the Planning and Zoning Commission, that new body, they would be acting in a quasi-judicial mode, just as the Zoning Board of Appeals is acting today. So there's no change. And the avenue of appeal of a decision would still be the same. It would be the circuit court.
I don't think the word quasi-judicial is correct, is it not?
It is.
The Zoning Board is a judicial board.
No, it's a quasi-judicial board.
It's statutorily referenced as a quasi-judicial, quasi-judicial board.
Yeah,
is it a separate section of the code that currently establishes the Zoning Board?
There is a section of the code that speaks to boards and commissions, and it's a subsection or subtitle referencing the zoning board.
In our zoning code, there are two separate sections that delineate the two boards and their tasks.
In the city code.
So this is actually what the council is being asked to tonight is, yes, a major change in our city ordinance is to eliminate one section of the zoning code.
Mr. Chairman, that's an incorrect statement. The city council is not being asked to change anything. This committee of the whole is being asked to remand this matter for a public hearing before the plan commission. We cannot make that decision tonight. We're not being asked to sit here as judge and jury. We're being asked to forward this for the public hearing so that public hearing can vet all the questions, comments, concerns, considerations, compliments of a proposed combination of talent.
Thank you for the interruption. I think we all
the interruption
know exactly
is
what
the
we're
interruption is essential because we're off base
Mr.
here.
So, Mayor,
Mr. Chairman, I apologize.
Continue my line of questioning.
Out of order, Mr. Chairman, I would kindly ask that you rule him out of order.
Mr. Brown, you are out of order, sir.
I would like to protest the ruling of the board when we may have a council vote on that. Ruling of the chairman, please.
Mr. Chairman, we are adjudicating this process prior to the public hearing. We are in violation of statutory guidelines. This is not a public hearing. It has not been opened or closed. We are simply remanding a matter to the plan commission.
Mr. Burns, that a request to have a ruling by the chairman reviewed by the council takes precedence over you continuing. I protest the ruling of the chairman that I can't continue this particular line. I had one more point to make.
Is a voice vote necessary here?
Yes.
Yeah. Those in favor of agreeing with Alderman Brown, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed? Nay.
May I continue just for my small point? Again, I think what we're being asked to do tonight is to ask the Plan Commission to hold a public hearing on something that has not really been explained to us in enough detail so I know whether to vote yes or no on it. I was not a chance to read the code in detail to see what parts of it are going to have to be changed to actually cause this to happen. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
Mayor Burns?
I would like to point out to the chair, to the members of the committee, and to the members of the audience, and to those millions watching at home, last week, I believe it was, we recommended unanimously to forward to the Plan Commission a public hearing on consideration of redrafting Downtown Master Plan Area Opportunity Number 6 without any details or roadmap of how that might change. In other words, let the Plan Commission hold the public hearing, let those details and elements percolate, let whatever recommendation that is heard and agreed upon come back to us for ultimate conclusion. We are doing the same thing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So can I jump in?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I beg your pardon. I think someone here, go ahead. Alderman Bruno, do you have something to say?
I was just pointing to him.
Oh, Alderman Maladra.
So actually, I think there was detail in that opportunity set number 6, right? We had the new drawings and stuff like that. But the point is, the matter's not here for debate, so really it's just an idea. Do you favor having this be talked about? And if the answer is yes, then that discussion should take place in the statutory, the way defined by the statutes. You don't need a whole lot of detail to make that decision. The detail only fuels the debate, whether it's in your mind or before this body, and if we should not be having that debate here. All we're being asked is, do we favor having that debate where it belongs? So, in my opinion, as I read the packet and as I hear all the conversation tonight, I'm not sure how I see a benefit or a negative, but I do know this. As long as I've been on the city council, we've never been afraid to have a conversation about anything. And this conversation, as I understand it, has to take place before the Plan Commission. So I'll vote in favor of moving.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to say that I also will vote to move it forward. And even though the Plan Commission appears to, I mean, it is one of the potential bodies, the Plan Commission runs a lot differently than the City Council. It's a lot more guideline-based, fact-based, not as much opinion. So I feel like the structure that they have in place to hold a public hearing and make a decision is very fact-based, and it's an appropriate place, which obviously we've put everything else through.
I'd like to call a question, please. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
Opposed.
Nay.
Nay.
Nay. Vision of the House.
Yeah. I think we need a...
You're going to need a roll call.
Yes.
Vision of the House.
Alderman.
Chuck Brown.
Nay.
Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Nay.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonian.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
The tally, please.
And I'm sorry, Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
8-2 in favor to move it forward.
I'm sorry.
8-2 in favor.
Eight to two in favor of moving it forward. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kendall.
I'm sorry I kicked a hornet's nest.
No, you're not.
Hey, thank you. Nice.
Thanks. Thanks. Keep kicking our...
The next item of agenda is new business. Is there anyone like to address the council? Alderman Flanagan.
I do have new business on a lighter note about kicking the... whatever you said.
Hornet's Nest.
We're going to be planting this Saturday, 8 o'clock, post office, Geneva. If anybody's interested in bringing, helping out, just bring a shovel, gloves, and we'll put you to work. This is our fall planting, last planting of the year, and we appreciate any help that you may give us. Thank you.
Are there any other issues? Yes. Ms. DeVita, please come forward.
Good evening, everyone. We always like it when there's lots of people downtown. And in the spring when you plant, we tend to have gardenology. This weekend they're going to be planting, and it is Labor Day weekend. And as you know, we have the 37th Annual Folk Festival. And on Saturday, we've done something different this year. We are going to shake it up and start with folk music downtown. I'm getting a lot of good comments from the businesses. They're very happy that we're doing this. And there will be live music starting at 11:30 at Geneva State and Geneva Bank and Trust at 5th and State at the old Pure Oil Building. They have sponsored this project, $1,000. We're very pleased to have their sponsorship this year. They are paying for the performers and the sound system that will be used there and in the courthouse lawn. And then at starting at 12:30, we'll have music at the courthouse lawn, and it's one of the headliners. They're from Nashville, and it's a string quartet, three women. I said quartet, it's three women. sorry. Locust Honey, and you can find them online. They're very good. And then at 1:30, there'll be various regional performers down at Joshua Plaza. And our thanks to Shodeen for getting us some power down there. And then the Kane County Chronicle is underwriting our marketing efforts. So
that's good. Everybody can come down, do a little bit of planting, stay for breakfast, and then enjoy the music through
right.
the afternoon.
Very good. Okay.
Are there any other members? Yes, sir. Please come forward.
He's pissed.
Please address us with your name and address.
Hello, I'm Patrick Neary. I'm the owner of Wildwood Restaurant and one of the partners in Bien Trucha and Atota Madre. And thank you first for letting me take a couple minutes of your busy evening. I came here tonight to principally express my concern about a recent city ordinance that was passed and the manner in which it's being implemented. As I've thought about that, I wanted to take just a minute, though, and provide a little broader context of some of my concerns as owner and operator of of three restaurants in Geneva. And also expressing the concerns of a larger number of owner-operators of restaurants in the community. I'm not here to try and take the particular issues that I have and get them adjudicated in front of this group. That's not the intent. But I do think it's very, very important for all of you to hear that the owner-operators of restaurants in this community need to engage in a serious dialogue with either this group or some subset of this group. Geneva is a dining community. It's known, you know, all throughout the western suburbs as a dining community. We have a strong reputation. We have strong restaurants. There are many of us, though, that believe that that cannot continue without taking a look at the way in which the city, the chamber, and the business community as a whole supports us. Many of those issues may be related to the fact that we're a non-home rule community. And that is something that is a serious matter that I think not only the restaurant industry, but other industries would like to have some dialogue with the city council. Let me just, you know, go back a little bit. What are the group of people I'm talking about? We're all in our businesses 70 to 100 hours a week. We have sales at $500,000 to $3 million a year. We bring tons of people from other towns. And I'm not talking just St. Charles and Batavia. I'm talking Wheaton and Glen Ellen. 20% of my customers at Wildwood come from Naperville. And they're not coming, excuse me, for retail shopping because the shops aren't open when they're coming. They're coming to eat. And they're coming to walk our streets at night. They're coming to have a drink on our patios. And they're coming to have our fine food and see the lovely community. Now, why would you say with all that, you know, why am I concerned? Well, I'm concerned because when I meet with my owners, and it's an interesting group, well, we're all competitors. We dine in each other's restaurants frequently. We have cocktails with each other frequently. We air out our issues with each other, and it's a pretty close-knit group, by and large. We don't fear each other's competition. We actually, you know the old saying, you know, the more restaurants we have in town, the better our existing restaurants will be. And I believe that to be true. I also know that most of our operators, even the smallest, despite the economic environment we're in, which is still not good, no matter what we want to hear from everyone else, are interested in improving and expanding their businesses. There's not one restaurant that I know that doesn't have at least one or two projects that they have sitting on the deck waiting to do when finances allow or when their strategy can be implemented. But there are high levels of frustration with being able to execute those projects. We believe that surrounding communities have more liberal liquor building and parking ordinances and more uniform ways and common sense ways of monitoring them. That may or may not be true, but that's what we believe. Part of that, again, may be due to the fact that some of those communities are home rule. We also believe, on balance, that when we consult with Geneva staff, we're told what we can't do, rather than being questioned what our objectives are and being told how we can help find solutions to our issues. I'm aware of at least four restaurants, including one of my own, that have projects that they would like to do that would enhance the dining community, which have been stalled due to concerns about city approval, whether it's fire or building, when in fact neighboring communities have restaurants of similar nature with similar projects that are already done. You know, you can go to Wheaton and see them dining on the sidewalks, no fences. You can go to Naperville or Wheaton, you can see
patios, which are extensions of buildings with no sprinkler systems. You know, you can go and been courted to go to other communities and build restaurants. No discussions about parking fees and fees for giving up parking spaces or taking parking spaces. So these things are all there. They're very real to all of us who make our living in this business, who enjoy it, who love this community, but have to be realistic that we're not just competing for diners in this community. In fact, I know in my restaurants, the largest percentage of the diners are not from Geneva. I'd guess at Biancuccia probably 80%, and somewhere close to 70% in Wildwood are from outside of the Geneva community. I think this is a great asset, I think, for the community. I think we do have, as said, concerns. My issue wasn't to come in and surprise on your agenda and lay out, you know, 10 things, but I do think it would be welcomed. There are a number of us who are considering forming a Geneva Restaurant Association. We want to start with the owner-managed businesses because we have, you know, a little different interest in, you know, the community and our businesses. And we think we can, you know, we can have some real impact in terms of getting together and talking about our issues. But we would like this group to have dialogue with us, because I think it's important that not only do we bring people in, but we're the nighttime ambassadors for Geneva. You know, the people that are here are asking us and our staff about the community, and I don't want them talking about the things that the city doesn't allow them to do, whether it's the city or not. I'm not throwing all the issues on the city, but I'm just saying we need to make sure that we have better understanding of each other and our needs and our interests and find some common ground. Now, with that said, I do have some issues, which I'll lay on the table, and then I'll take questions if you want. But I, you know, in fairness to the city staff too, you know, it's important to have all the people here. But I want to tell you, just as an example, 2 years ago, Biancuccia decided that we should have an exciting outdoor patio in Geneva where we shake margaritas and, you know, have our fair outside. And we thought that was going to be possible 2 years ago. And then we were properly counseled that the liquor law didn't allow for, doesn't mention beer and wine and outside, but didn't actually mention liquor at all. So we were counseled and we waited until the liquor law was changed. There were some complicating issues to getting that liquor law passed, and Mary can tell you all about those. You know, a number of other issues came into that, and it took a while to get done. We lost the summer. So this summer, we go again. Ready to go. And on a early one morning, not so early yet actually, but you know, close to lunchtime, I was called over to Biancuccia to find a member of the fire department, police department, building department, and Kane County Health Department, all telling us what we couldn't do. I'm not here to tell you they were wrong. I'm telling you that's a crummy way to do business in a lovely community like this. I've never heard of the health department from the county coming to pay a visit to a restaurant for the city. I don't know how that happened. I don't know why that happened. It's incredulous to me. Since then, and I think is partly as a result of that, some city ordinances were changed on August 5th regarding fencing, and to my knowledge, no liquor license holder was provided any of those changes in ordinances directly by the liquor commissioner's office. The first time I saw that ordinance was a letter received last Friday from the Geneva Fire Department, kindly instructing us to immediately make changes, to submit, this was Friday at lunchtime, to submit a plan to the building department no later than 4 p.m. today. And if we don't have new fences in place by Thursday, September 5th, which is the date before the wine festival, that our suspension or revocation of our outdoor seating license could be had. Now, this is a restaurant that has been on television at least 5 times in the last 2 years, calling this community and all the wonderful things in this community to attention of the greater Chicagoland area. This is a restaurant that's consistently rated as one of the top restaurants in Chicago by Chicago Magazine. This is a restaurant that every one of you and your neighbors know. You might love it, you might hate it, but you know it. And those of you that hate it probably hate it because it's hard to get into. Or you drink too many margaritas and the bill gets high after you do that. But it's not because of the food. It's not because of the drink. And what I'm here to tell you is this is not the way to do business. I can't believe, and I know many of you personally, in fact, I'm happy to say that I know most of you from being diners in our establishments, but I can't believe this was the intent of the city council. If it was, I'll stand down, I'll go back to my watering hole, but I will still request that we have an opportunity to engage in some further dialogue about the future of fine dining, casual dining, outdoor dining in this great community so that we can get on a little better playing field with the rest of the surrounding communities. Questions?
Any questions? Yeah, Alderman Simone?
Patrick brought this to my attention just not too long ago about what happened on Friday, and this issue with the fencing. And when we went through this conversation, I specifically asked, is this going to be something that's going to be embarked upon with all during this high season? And the answer back to me was that they had till April. Okay, that's when the next go round of liquor licenses or whatever. So I passed that along, and I was stunned when I got the call as well on Friday. It said, you got a fence issue, you got to plan to us by Monday, and you got to have the fence up by September 5th. And it flies right in the face of the conversation that I had that evening regarding this issue. And as you all know, I mean, I come from the business side of the equation, and I'm going to try and support the business side of this equation as much as I can. And this particular thing, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, if he's violating the fence ordinance or whatever, which probably is, I just don't think the way we go about it necessarily might be the right way to address it on a Friday afternoon at lunch. Got to have your a plan by Monday. Got to have a fence up by the 5th. And then the next question I have is, if they're doing it there, are they doing it across the board that way to every other restaurant in the city? And if they are or they aren't, we should maybe just take a look at this and say, no one's saying not to do it. It's just, let's maybe do it in a different way.
Ms. McKittrick?
I would just say that there is much more to the story. There's documentation. Rather than trying to adjudicate this at a public meeting, this is a process where staff is implementing the codes that are on the books right now. The license, the outdoor seating license that Mr. Neary is talking about, was issued subject to an inspection being done and approval being given. The rope fencing that has been up has not been in compliance since it was installed. The ordinance that was passed last week or the week before was clarifying the language. It didn't change the provisions, the requirements. Mr. Neary, Biantrucci's staff have been spoken with personally, one-on-one. This is not the first notice that they heard of this. There's much more to the story, and without getting into having the documentation in front of me and other staff that have been involved over the past year, this is a long and storied situation that I think that is probably more complicated than we can solve here at this meeting. If Mr. Neary would like to come in and sit down and meet with us, I would be glad to bring in the fire department and the building department and the police department and staff that issued the permit subject to the inspections taking place and being in compliance, and we can all sit down together and walk through what the city code is and what is required. Being inflexible is not something that we want to be. We do consider ourselves business friendly. However, we will not look the other way and pretend like a code is not on the books, or that we will ignore something, a code or a policy that the city council has enacted. We have a fiduciary duty to implement those codes. Again, I'm more than happy to work with Mr. Neary on it, but there's much more to the story than I think what we can get in tonight, and there's a lot of documentation that I'm happy to produce to prove all of that, if anyone would like to sit down and go through it with us.
I'm the first one to tell you there's three parts to every story. There's Patrick's side, there's our side, or the city staff side, and then there's somewhere that lies in the middle.
And there's the documentation.
And all I'm reacting to is a sheet of paper that I saw that said, come in on Friday afternoon, expect a plan submitted by Monday, and a fence built by whatever. Now, there may be a long history behind that I'm not privileged to at this time, whatever may be the case. I'm just reacting to that particular piece. So that said, I'm in support. I'm in support of, you know, us being supporting economic vitality as best we can without breaking any rules.
Me too.
And
Alderman Ladra.
So, specific issues aside, what I'm more interested in right now is the opportunity to sit down with these guys and start talking about their plans, their hopes and dreams, and our realities and things like that. So I'm just. I don't want to talk about it necessarily tonight, but as soon as we can, I'd like to work with you guys and figure out how we can get those talks started. I think that's an opportunity. We did it a while ago with the downtown store owners and things like that. Picked up a little bit of momentum and then sort of fizzled out. We have an opportunity now at the restaurants to do the same.
Well, and I might add, too, I think I'm proud of the fact that we have done that. When we did go through the 9-month process of updating the liquor code, Mr. Neary got a copy of the draft as we were going through it, several drafts, and actually we met several times,
About forward, not backward.
Well, no, I'm just giving that as an example. So that is the way that we operate. We do and work hand in hand in the chamber as well. We send drafts of that to the board. In fact, the reason that alcohol, in addition to wine and beer, is able to be served outdoors because that suggestion came from Mr. Neary and ended up in the code that you approved. So we have worked with him directly and other restaurateurs and continue to do that. So we do pride ourselves.
That's my way of saying I want to be involved. Sorry.
Okay. Anyone else?
I had a question. Are you saying that it's being applied inconsistently, or is it flawed?
I'm going to get a little more aggressive.
Okay.
I think it's being applied discriminatorily. Okay? There are many restaurants that don't even have fences. I do not know why a rope fence is causing so much problem. The liquor code requires a fence to keep you in. The fire code wants to be able to get you out. You know, one of the issues is we have a rope fence that we close off the front of the space when we're not open for business. There's nobody in to get out. We're trying to keep people away from our equipment and our buildings when they don't belong there. That's one of the issues that's here. the rope, whether it's 36 inches at its bottom, when it was wet or dry, was another issue. You know, I understand, you know, again, and I'm not saying there aren't issues, but I'm just trying to think, with all of the important fire issues in this community and all the important police issues, why this has got so much energy. I'm not going to throw my other restaurant owners under the bus, but you don't have to think too far to think about some outdoor restaurants that don't even have fences. So this is not, no one's gone around and surveyed the entire community and said, here are the issues. My fences at Wildwood are not clients. I will throw myself under the bus. It says something here about needing 30-pound anchors on the bottom of temporary fence. I don't have that. So until I saw this, and now I don't know what to do. I guess I'll put sandbags around the anchors and I'll really dress my place up. I mean, this has not been looked at, and it's not been presented to the people that are affected by it. You know, why were not all the people that own have liquor licenses? We could have helped fine-tune this. We could have raised some concerns about it. We don't know whether we're in compliance or not. I mean, it's pretty clear from this that the rope fences are not allowed now. It wasn't so clear to me before. And in fact, we modeled the rope fences around the chain fences that used to be at Fiora. We didn't model, but we said, well, if they can do that with a chain, why can't we do it with a large rope? And I think it's the city of Geneva that's deciding the material content, not the state. I'm not aware of that. I can't be absolutely sure, but I think that's the case. I think it's the city of Geneva that's deciding, you know, whether you need temporary or semi-permanent or permanent or temporary. I don't know that that's the state. Maybe it is. But I know three of the top 10 restaurants in West Suburban Living magazine don't have fences. One of them is Sidewalk Dining in Wheaton. No fences. And I think we want to just be fair to our restaurants and see, you know, if that, you know, again, what's the underlying issue? What's the concern? What problems have we had? You know, and engage the people that own the businesses and have the liquor licenses to help deal with those problems in a way that doesn't stifle our business or create a competitive disadvantage with neighboring communities. And that's all I ask.
And one other question. Have there been any instances at any of your businesses where, because of your lack of compliance, supposedly, there's been police presence or anything that would lead to a tighter enforcement or contribute to a tighter enforcement?
In the 8 years Wildwood has been open, we've never received any citation regarding any liquor ordinance. We've never had any underage drinking issue. I recall the only cases of police presence were when we called the police and asked them to escort someone who came into our restaurant already inebriated home. I don't recall any other instances. At Biantrucha, I'm not aware of any instance where we've had an issue either.
Thank you.
The space in question is actually between two buildings that we own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of confined, except the front and the back, just by the structures. There was dining and drinking on the front patio of the Biantrucha building back when it was Fernando's, I think. And we certainly have had it in the 6 years we've been open. And this was the first year that, you know, and I'm not saying it was right by the code when I read it, when I see what's here. I'm just saying we operated that way for 6 years, so it was a little bit of a surprise when that issue came into question.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Are there any more new business to come before?
Thank you.
The committee.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's very important that we do recognize the mayor's birthday tonight. We can wish him a happy birthday and many more.
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome. Oh. I'm in need of a motion to close the committee of the whole meeting.
To close session?
To go into closed session. And we are going to address the issue of purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body, and there will be no action taken on this issue. There's been a motion by Alderman Marks, a second by Alderman
second.
Bruno. Thank you. All those in favor signify.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. Voice vote.
Aye. Mike Bruno.
Aye.
Donald Cummings.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Dean Kilburg.
Aye.
Craig Maladra. Richard Marks.
Aye.
Tom Simonia.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye. All right.
Okay, go into the refrigerator.